Sorted 8, the 2-8, Robert Yoshua, Jacobson.
Morning, Robert Yoshua. In case you were expecting somebody slightly older, yes, you noticed correctly that there is a switch of the Tuesday and the Wednesday people, and now I was the Tuesday man, and here we go. Just a brief recap of something spoke about last time, I don't know if anybody remembers, but I spoke about an idea of something very valuable, talking about during the Omer and the great value of time. So there's some things that we said that are very, very valuable, and they slip through our fingers. The value slips by us. So just two other points that came up on that Nakuda. I wanted to emphasize that this generation is a special challenge of valuing time, and because there's an awesome force out there which is trying to make us not value time. And to bring this out, I had never seen it or didn't realize I was seeing it. There's something called infinite scroll, which is for people who use these technology where they're using it for entertainment, and they've come up with a way that people can have, they can scroll up on their screens endlessly. So that means just in case you've watched 850 movies or videos or whatever and you haven't had enough, don't worry, there's an endless number afterwards. So the temptation is out there for people to waste more and more time. And this was brought up by an interesting and humorous conversation I had with a fellow I was talking to after davening one day. I know he's a working person, but he's kaveh itzim for learning. And I said to him, how's your learning going? And he said to me emphatically, I've got to keep up with Dirshu. I'm falling behind, I've got to keep up. So then he coined a phrase. Instead of saying what we're used to, which is so much to do, so little time, he said, so much to do and so much messing around, which was an interesting joke and a bit of a musarvort. So that's the one of the challenges of this generation is that, Baruch Hashem, we're not busy with Baruch Hashem, not with Soros, but there are other ways that we've managed to keep ourselves busy as well, and we have to try to break out and look for the value in what I call lost diamonds. So today I'm going to try to present a few more lost diamonds in mitzvahs that may slip through our fingers if we don't focus on it. Now, the first one, I was learning Yesod B'Shor Yishuv Avoda, and he pointed out a very, very interesting idea, which we maybe could have thought of ourselves, but until someone puts it in print and brings out the point, I think it goes to some degree unnoticed. He says the following, not in a question form, but I'll put it in a question form. This is in Shar Aleph, Perek Zion. He says, what is the most common mitzvah that a Yid has in his life? What's like the easiest, most common mitzvah that he can do? And he brings it out like this. You can do it anywhere, anytime. He says you can do it on weekday. You can do it on Shabbos. You can do it on Yom Kippur. You can do it on Tisha B'Av. You can do it when you're tired. You can day and night. Even when you're exhausted, you can do this mitzvah. Maybe to the point where you're falling asleep, you couldn't. But it's a mitzvah you can do, and he says anywhere. So far, I think probably some of you are already thinking, but there are all sorts of mitzvahs we can do with Avos Hashem or something else. He said, but this is a mitzvah you could even do in a makom metunaf. You can even do it, whatever, in the dirty parts of a mikveh. Or, he says, even in a basic kisei. So, anybody want to try to take a guess? What mitzvah is it that you can do in anywhere, anytime? Which is a great address, because that means anytime you're short on a mitzvah, here you go. So the one he says is, this is a way, all you have to do is think like this. You have to have a thought, you have to do something. You have to think, and it's so easy to do this, I'm happy for someone else. I'm happy I'm happy so-and-so had a hatzlacha. I'm happy so-and-so had a simcha. I'm happy that they have parnasa. It could be anything in the world that you're happy for another yid about. He says, you've just been mekayim a mitzvah deraisa of the ahavta recha kamoicha. And that's a diamond, because anywhere you are, anytime, we all have things that we're happy. It could be for our own children, for whoever that you care about. It doesn't say only if he's not someone close to you. Even if he's close to you, you're happy for them, you mekayim v'ahavta recha kamoicha. So now you'll say to me, well, this sounds too good to be true. How is it that this doesn't have more mefursim? So whenever you have diamonds, you can probably get some local edus, but when you have diamonds, you have to guard them, because there are people out there trying to grab them away from you. Yeah, there's someone who I know who deals in diamonds, and he wears the most plain jacket. You'd never guess that he's walking around with a fortune. He's dressed like, I wouldn't say a hobo, like a simple guy on the street, but it's very unassuming. And the whole point is because he knows he's being watched. People might try to take it from him. So who's trying to take it from us? Well, you guessed it. Who wants to stop us from doing mitzvahs, especially the easy ones, especially the ones that are there's no effort, and you're just cashing in the mitzvahs d'oraisa? It's the Yetzer Hara. And he has a powerful, powerful tool. And the tool is called kina, is jealousy. How do you get someone to not be happy for another yid? Well, the Yetzer Hara has to be given a special defense to stop us, and that is kina. And if you think about kina, it's spoken about in the Svarim, kina is utter foolishness. Why? Because you get no gain from it, you get upset from it, and it doesn't change the object of your kina's matzav at all. You can be jealous until you're blue in the face. He'll still have what he has. Doesn't affect, he doesn't know about it, unless you make a really ugly face at him. But I'm just talking about the makshavas that are robbed from us because we're jealous. So it's a fantastically huge mitzvah that's available to us, and there's another power we have to know called kina, which is taking it away. Now, so you say, what exactly is the chiddush in pointing this all out? So if you don't even know that there's a battle going on, you'll just see that's life. Of course, I'm not as happy for other people as I am myself, but if you slow down and you think, no, I am happy for other people, so what's stopping me? So the Yosef Shoshavod is pointing out there's a mochama going on every second of your woken life, that you have the opportunity, these great, great, valuable mitzvahs, and you're being stopped. It's not pshat that just happens to be like that. You are being stopped. So now you want to come back and collect the fortune that you so easily can take, so go ahead and take it. That's the nakuda to bring out. Another one which ties in, one of these lost diamonds, is in this week's parsha, the mitzvah of tzitzis. And admittedly, it's not as available as v'ahavta l'recha kamoicha, because we don't do it halacha at night. And the circumstances where you may not be able to do it, only have a beged of arba konfos, there are restrictions on how to do it. But it's a mitzvah that is incredibly valuable and really quite available. And as the Lashon, the Gemara Menachos says, shekula mitzvah zu keneged kol mitzvahs. So it's not just a mitzvah that you have easy access to, but it's a mitzvah that has an enormous payout. You can't say, well, I'm wearing tzitzis, I'm not going to take lulav. It doesn't work like that. But whatever it is, the schar, the value of it is shekula keneged kulam. So this is, again, one of those mitzvahs that you can cash in on a major profit. And because we do it every day and we do it by habit, so again, it's one of these things that sort of slips by us, are we really getting the most out of it? So I want to bring out one nakuda of this, which you'll see. Well, first thing I'm going to say is a whopping chiddush. But even if you don't like the whopping chiddush, there's still a nakuda that's very nogea. According to some poskim, we all know there's the mitzvah of levisha. We're all doing it right now. We're doing the levisha of tzitzis. But according to some poskim, in the minyan hamitzvahs, they count looking at tzitzis. So they're wearing tzitzis, and another mitzvah, not instead of, another mitzvah looking at tzitzis. Now, if you go around the room and you ask people, who's ever heard of the mitzvah of looking at tzitzis? What kind of mitzvah is that? But some of the Rishonim learn it's a mitzvah d'oraisa. So and the Igros Moshe brings it as, admittedly it's not black and white, but he seems to be saying that it applies today, that even we don't paskin necessarily like these Rishonim, but you can chop a mitzvah just by looking at your tzitzis. And according to these Rishonim, is mamish one of the mitzvahs d'oraisa. This is his Loshen. There are many things to do with tzitzis. This one, for example, shkula mitzvah zu keneged kol mitzvahs, that's one. And then he says the second lashon of the Gemara in Menachos, which is ria mevia lidei zechira, v'zechira mevia lidei asiya, which suggests that he's saying, quoting a Gemara, which admittedly Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring, but he says, looking at your tzitzis brings you to zechira, to remembering the mitzvahs, and remembering mitzvahs brings you to doing them. Now that line, I think, needs some thought. Is he saying that you can just look at them, which I would say the pashtus, or you have to look at them in a way that you're trying to make yourself remember? So I don't know the answer to that. But the simple reading is, riyah brings you to zechira. It's not pshat. It's not called a riyah until you think. It sounds like it's a riyah just by looking. That is the mitzvah for you, as the pasuk says. He quotes the pasuk, some of his chartim is called mitzvah Hashem. Look at them. It doesn't say look at them and think about them. It says look at them and you will remember the mitzvahs of Hashem. It seems to be a result, as opposed to, because you could just say, what am I doing? I'm looking at tzitzis. What has happened? What kind of a mitzvah is that? But I think it could very, very well be kapshutai, as the Gemara is saying, you will look at them and that will generate the following results. That's not your business. Your business is to look. How easy is that? This is one of the easiest mitzvahs you've ever heard of in your life. You're sitting in the doctor's office, chas v'shalom, you're sitting, let's say, waiting to collect your lottery winnings, make it a more gishmaka matzav. waiting for your water, and they say, we'll be with you in a few minutes. So you could look at all the look at the blank walls, or you could just look at your tzitzis. You look at your tzitzis, and okay, and if you say you want Anne to remind you of the mitzvahs, if you want, think about the mitzvahs as well, or if nothing else, it sounds like just looking at them. So not only that, but it even works at looking at other people's tzitzis. So if you're standing in shul, you're waiting for Zoras Hashatz, and you have, again, you have a choice. While I'm standing here listening to answer all the brochas, I'm going to look at the wall. I'm going to look at things on the floor. You can mekayem a mitzvah just by looking at tzitzis, other people's tzitzis. You don't have to do something awkward, pick them up and look at them if you don't want to. Look at the guy in front of you's tzitzis. So that's another way you can cash in on seemingly a very easy mitzvah deraisa. Now, some people say, yeah, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring it. Okay, maskim. However, I present to the side way, yes, maybe it is a mitzvah deraisa. We'll tell you the tzadim to look at them. There are segulas. Someone once came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. It's a famous joke. I think it's arguably one of the most famous jokes of the last few 10 years or so. Someone came to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I've heard it many times, and he said to Rav Chaim, "It's a shame that lo signovu isn't amongst the minhagim or isn't amongst certain sefer's writings." He says, "Why? Because if it would be only a segula, people would be more interested in it." Yeah. But if it's so we have to speak to the segulas. Speak to you. So when is, everybody likes segulas. And listen to this. This is a list of what some of the svarim say that looking at tzitzis will bring you. Amongst the things you can acquire, it can enhance your yir shamayim, can bring you more parnasa, it can bring a refuah, and it can bring kedusha. So if you don't like all the prophets, it'll save you from things as well. It can save you from kas. It can save you from hirhurim asurim, ayin hara, and the chasen sofer says it can improve your zikaron. So all in all, this is, I think, really a no-brainer. Your choice of looking at a lot of other things and looking at tzitzis, always opt for the tzitzis. Now, while on the subject of tzitzis, and it's this week's parsha, I noticed, went through the parish of the Orach Chaim on the parsha, and there's some very interesting chedushim there, which, this is again, a mitzvah I'm doing twice a day. We're saying the paragraph of tzitzis twice a day, depending what you do at Krishma Lamita. I'm not going to get into that. But at least say we're all saying tzitzis twice a day. So we should at least have more appreciation of what we're doing when you're saying parsha tzitzis. And some of these things, I wondered what exactly are these words when he pointed them out. And I realized I didn't have clarity on some of the psukim, so I want to bring out some of those ideas. The first thing is that usually when you're given a mitzvah, how is the mitzvah introduced? With Vayidaber Moshe, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe. But by tzitzis, it takes a bit of a bend. It starts off, Hashem says, Deber b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta aleihem, and say to them. So amarta, instead of, he asks, why not say, v'aydaber, something like that. What's with v'amarta? Why are we using this lashon? So he says, and with the answer, I'm not just telling you one diak in tzitzis, in the parsha tzitzis, is a very interesting yesoid in tzitzis. So to answer this, he brings a medrash of Tanna Dabei Eliyahu, and in which he asks the question, which is an obvious question we could have all asked on the Parsha. Why do we have the Maisa of the Mekoshesh and then Tzitzis? It's like an abrupt switch. The Mekoshesh is one thing, and that punkt after that, we have Mitzvah Tzitzis. What's the Shaychus of the one to the other? So maybe I'd thought about it, but I'd never come up with an answer. But Baruch Hashem, the medrash comes up with an answer for us. And says, a bit of a story behind this. It says, Kisharoa Moshe Maisa Mekoshesh. Moshe saw what happened with the Chilul Shabbos of the Mekoshesh. Amar Lifnei Hashem, B'yimei Chol Lev Shim Yisrael Tefillin. During the week, the Yidden have been told to wear tefillin. And with that, listen to this carefully, Zoichrin HaMitzvahs. Wearing tefillin reminds you of the mitzvahs. Now, we don't make, I don't think, a big deal about tefillin reminding of mitzvahs. I saw that the Hiratzon makes a remez to it, but it's not obviously what's going on. In tzitzis, we do say it's going to bring us to remembering all the tzitzis. But the Medrash says even tefillin is meant to do that. And Moshe was troubled. He said, what are people going to do to remember all the mitzvahs on Shabbos? B'Shabbos b'ma yizachru. So Hashem says back to Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini nosen lahem mitzvah tzitzis. Don't worry, I'm giving you mitzvah tzitzis. So they'll remember the mitzvahs that way. We won't have the problem of the Mekoshesh again. I mean, it's possible, but this was the solution. So the Orach Chaim says why are we using, why is Hashem using the language of Amarta? Why is it a gentle language? When you say Amarta, it's more gentle than Vidabarta. So he says, because other mitzvahs are like a command from Hashem. They originate from Hashem. He wants you to do this. But in this case, there was an element of Moshe asking, how are we going to solve a problem? So it was to soothe Moshe's concerns. Moshe was concerned, what are we going to do about Chilul Shabbos? Hashem says, don't worry, they'll have tzitzis on Shabbos. Now, the combination of tzitzis and tefillin on the different days will take away the chashash, and Moshe was placated. So far, so good. But if you're listening carefully, you'll realize what I've just said, this Medrash is saying, is hugely difficult. Why? Because according to the Medrash, then you could make a mistake. You could say, what am I going to do during the week? I'll wear tefillin. What am I going to do on Shabbos? Well, I'll wear talis. Because according to the Medrash, it's coming to take the place of the tefillin, so I have to have a mitzvah on Shabbos to do. In fact, the Or HaChaim asks it slightly differently. He says, Yesh makom litoish, you can make a mistake and think, Rotza levish tefillin, Rotza levish tzitzis. You can pick and choose. So you could imagine, we come to, I don't know what they do here in Maksika Das, you come to some shuls where on Kol HaMoed, the people who wear tefillin, and some who don't wear tefillin. So you'd see half of the people, according to this Medrash, wearing tefillin, because that's what I like, or that's my minhag, but I'm not going to wear talis. And other people say, well, we don't wear tefillin, so I have to wear talis. So you've got two groups of people standing there. You could have people who become known as tefillin families, talis families. So it's just not the world as we know it. So what's going on? How do we reconcile the Medrash with the both mitzvahs being simultaneously a chiyuv on a weekday? Admittedly, on Shabbos, you can only wear the talis. So the Torah comes to the rescue, as is pointed out by the Or HaChaim. He says, listen to the following pasuk and slow down a bit on one letter in tzitzis. Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem v'asu lehem tzitzis. Now, if you slow down to v'asu, and they should make themselves tzitzis. So what else were they doing? Were they building a house? They should don't just do this, but you should and make yourself tzitzis. The whole parsha hasn't mentioned anything else that you're doing. There's no other mitzvahs, and the Mekoshesh was before this. We're not trying to do something about him and do this. There's nothing you want from him. So what's with v'asu, and make tzitzis? So he says, that and, the vav in va'asu, is the answer to our problem. He says you shouldn't think that it's an either or choice. You can choose tzitzis, you can choose tefillin. No, and make yourself tzitzis. That means don't think that tzitzis is coming as a bimkoim, the tefillin, but rather it's an addition. And together, okay. So you say, are they both needed on the same day for that? Maybe not. Maybe they'll both remind you. But nevertheless, the Torah is mitzvah that you have to do both, and there's not going to be this period, the family, some doing this, some doing that. No, both mitzvahs are at the same time. Now, I want to point out, this is a ha'orah about tzitzis as well, which we know at the beginning of Shema, what do we do when we say Shema? We cover our eyes with our hands. So essentially, make it simple, we're told not to look. Don't look around. Don't even look at your tzitzis. Cover your eyes. You're looking at nothing, and you're just being mekabel olmach with Shemayim. But then we've got another mitzvah in our Shema in the morning, and then which is look, because in the evening we don't do this, but in the morning we do. Now it's time to look at something. In the beginning we say don't look, and now look. We say look at your tzitzis, right? And even put them on your eyes. I quote you the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch: Yesh nogim listakel b'tzitzis. Some have the custom, which I think is very, very widely the custom, to look at their tzitzis, kishimigiyin, lirois osam, and you, by the words, and you should look at them, v'itein osam aleinayim, and then they put them on their eyes. Minag yafahu v'chavivi ha-mitzvah. It's a minag yafah, it's a good mitzvah, and according to us, it's not a good mitzvah. We said earlier at the beginning of this year, it's a mitzvah that's touching on, it's a minhag that's touching on a mitzvah deraisa. Because we said at the beginning of this year that if you look at your tzitzis, some of the Rishonim learn, you're doing a mitzvah deraisa. So it's a minhag yafah, but I'm just adding, and it's got an element of a shaila being a mitzvah deraisa, and a chavivi mitzvah. Now follow what's going on over here. So first you look at them, so you've opened your eyes, and then you're told to put them on your eyes. Now, I've never met the guy who took literally to say, I'm going to put them on my eyes. You see him propping his eye open and putting them in his eyes, right? Nobody does that. We put them on your eyes. How do you put something on your eyes? By, again, covering your eyes. You're obviously going to put them on your eyelids. Which, Tom, this is my own horror, where do we ever find that putting things on your eyes is a sign of chavivus? Eyes are not, you kiss with the lips. We pick up a saber, kiss with the lips. Someone said by Havdalah, you see it as well. But it's not obvious that putting on eyes is a sign of chavivus. It's not, these are not things to show chavivus. I thought of humorously, did you ever see somebody who blew the shofar and then put the shofar against his ear? No such thing. But anyway, Shulchan Aruch says this is chavivus and mitzvahs, and this is the way we show chavivus. So now this is my question. What is going on over here? Listen, the transition is we begin Shema by covering our eyes. We're not seeing anything. We put our hand on our eyes. Then we take our hands off. We wait for tzitzis. Then we look at the tzitzis. We're told, look, stop not looking now. It's time to look. And then for the grand finale, we're told to put them over your eyes and cover your, it doesn't say cover your eyes, put them on your eyes, but I don't think it's anybody who understands it that means put them into your eyeball. It means you're putting them on your eyes, you're not seeing again. So it's going from not looking, looking, to looking. So I'm going to explain the first half of what I'm going to say. I've heard from a Choshev Darshan, and the last bit is going to be my own Chiddush, and I'll warn you when we get to that part to say, this is my own thing, so you can take it or leave it. But the beginning part, I heard from a Choshev Darshan. He said like this, why are we putting our hands over our eyes? Let's just close our eyes. But what are we doing closing our eyes, covering our eyes? So it's the Pashut Pshat is to help us with Kavana. You shouldn't have distractions, so close your eyes. You're thinking about something important. I don't know if somebody says to you, what was that Swiss bank account number? If you can remember it, I'll give you all the money in it. So if necessary, you will close your eyes until you remember, right? You're not going to take it lightly. So that's a way to concentrate. Anyway, so that's the simple pshat for concentration. But there's a deeper pshat, or a deeper havana. So he says, this Darshan said that the eyes have a tremendous disadvantage in terms of believing, make harder to believe what we're about to say. When you look at a olam agashmi, when you look around this room, what you see is 40 choshev yidden, and lahavdil, all sorts of objects, and chandeliers, and who knows what, you see lots of different things. And there's no mixing up that this is all one big thing. Now you're about to declare of Yichud of Hashem. Yichud Hashem means that it's achdus, there's no pirut. But your eyes, we absorb everything in the olam agashmi as pirut. There's no such thing in our experience as that kind of achdus. So you're having a battle. Your eyes are telling you the world doesn't have yichud. And you're trying to declare that everything in the world has yichud. So it's a shouting match. Your eyes are shouting louder than your brain. How are you going to say with kavana that there's yichud Hashem? So the solution is to stop looking. You stop looking, you've cut out all of the sheker, the shikra, that there's a world of pirut. Fine. But why do I have to cover my eyes with my hand? So on that he says, because it's so easy to not stop that information coming in, that message coming in, you have to do a positive maisa to block it out. You have to know the olam de shikra is so powerful that unless you positively do something to say, I'm not paying attention to that, I hear the sheker, it's very, very loud, it's shouting in my ears, I'm not just going to say, oh, I won't listen, I won't have, if you say, I won't have any more chocolate cake, you have to take the chocolate cake off the table. It's not pshat, you won't have any more chocolate cake, you will have more chocolate cake. The world is so seductive, the pitui is incredible, so you have to put your hands over your eyes, or your hand over your eyes, say, I'm doing a maisa pula to shut off all of the sheker, so I can declare Yichud Hashem. Okay, that's stage one.
We have the concept there.
I hear.
That's what you do.
Very good. Okay. So now, stage two, that was the closing of the eyes. Now we open the eyes. So now, after we've done that, we're told later to look at the tzitzis. So I want to say it goes in stages. What's next? After you've been makabel, Omar Hashemayim, now you're ready to do, you say, I'm an Eved Hashem, I'm ready to do your mitzvahs. So I've got clarity to some degree on Yichud Hashem. Now what am I in the world for? To do your mitzvahs. So now you look at the tzitzis, and what's the last stage? The last stage is you put them on your eyes again, you're not seeing. So this is, again, I want to suggest this, take it or leave it. But so what's just happened? You're coming full cycle. We're not in the world just to do the mitzvahs, to be mitzvah doers. So we accepted Hashem's malchus, and now we're going to be good mitzvah doers. That's wonderful. It's a good thing. But we have to keep in mind that the ultimate goal is not just to be mitzvah doers. The mitzvahs are being done as a way to declare Hashem's yichud in the world. We're trying to bring Omar HaShemayim, or covered Shemayim into this world. So now we cover our eyes again to say, that's the tachlis of the mitzvahs. All those mitzvahs that I'm doing, they should be with the understanding of the closed eyes, which is that recognize Hashem's achdus. It's not pshat that they're their own thing. They're all leading towards this goal. So, as I say, it's my own idea, but I thought it was a mistaber. And we chap that we're helping to deny the period in the world and to focus on our job in the world. Now, I have a few minutes left to bring up one other interesting diuk which he makes, which I've read thousands of times and so have you, in this is the Orach Chaim, in the Parsha Tzitzis. The Parsha says, V'haya lechem letzitzis, right? Middle of Tzitzis, and they will be for you tzitzis. So the question with this is, we know they'll be for us tzitzis. We've just told you, V'amarta v'alayim asunim tzitzis, we're telling you, you're going to make yourself tzitzis, and then v'hai lechem letzitzis. Make yourself tzitzis, and they will be for you tzitzis. So v'amoth of marshal, afterwards we tell you, put tchelis on, but we're very involved in making tzitzis. What do you mean, and they will be for you tzitzis? If you're telling me, do this, and do this, and do this for your tzitzis, then obviously they will be for you tzitzis. So he says, wait, I'm bringing out the marshal, I would understand it. A wife leaves a note for her husband, who she can't make him lunch. So she leaves a note on the table that says, please make for yourself your own lunch. There's some bread, and there's some cold meats, and behold, it will be for you a sandwich. Yeah, obviously it was a sandwich. What do you think I'm doing here? Bread and meats, and you told me to make lunch. Behold, it will be for me a sandwich. Why is the Torah telling us, v'hai lechem letzitzis, they will be tzitzis? Not only because we're very short on time. Basically, he says, this is the crux of what tzitzis are. They are, Tosfos brings a medrash which says, the tzitzis are comparable to the chosim, the emblem of avodim. And these avodim would wear them around and they would show who is their master and it would remind them constantly. So he says, that's the pshat, the Orach Chaim, and what we're saying, and they will be for you a chosim, they'll be for you a reminder of who you are, what you're doing in the world. So it's not just, we're Jewish, we wear these clothes, and I don't know, New York fans wear the Yankees hats, and whatever you like, people do wear different clothes. Someone once told me, he tells Goyim, if they ask him, why do you wear this lavush? So interestingly, he says, this is our traditional clothing. That's it. He doesn't want to get into a discussion with him. That's the beginning and the end of the conversation. But some people could actually just think like that. I think there are people who think like that. That this is just what we wear. It's Jewish lavush. Say, no. Get clear. You are an Eved Hashem. This is meant to be a reminder. You are a walking Eved Hashem. And when a king once tells you a chosim, says Orach Chaim, it usually has some symbol on it to show you that this is your master. He says, that's why it goes on Arba Konfos. The Arba Konfos is to remind us, because Hashem is Sholet on the Arba Konfos Aretz, the whole world is His. So we're walking around with the symbol that shows Hashem's Malchus, and that we are His Avadim. So just because I think we are out of time, see if I had, I don't think there's anything short enough to say. So going back to this, the Sikkum is, I tried to bring out some mitzvahs that we're very involved with, very, let's say, easy to do. Looking at tzitzis, very easy. V'havta recha kamoicha. All these mitzvahs which are diamonds waiting for us to grab. So we've got to grab them. And with this, we should be zeicha to be Yisrael tzedek b'mehirah v'yameinu. Amen.